Thank you. Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here giving a talk in this conference. I'd like to thank all the organizers. I want to talk about spherical conjecture, which essentially a similar conjecture to ABC about elliptic curves. It relates two invariants of an elliptic curve to each other. So let E be an elliptic curve, and we can have a wire source form that we can write for it. There's a general wire source form that we have, and we can also make a simpler wire source equation for this if we change a variable to be y squared is equal to a cubic. And the first invariant that we can attach to this elliptic curve is essentially the discriminant of this elliptic curve, of this form, which is pretty close to the discriminant of the cubic on the right-hand side of the equation. The problem with this is that this definition is that this is not an invariant. In fact, if you do a simple change of a variable on the right-hand side, let's say let x equal to u square x and y equal to u cube y, you get a different equation that's with a different discriminant, with a u to the minus 12 showing up in there. However, we can ask for the smallest discriminant of an elliptic curve, and that one turns out to be an invariant. So this is the actual definition. If you have an elliptic curve E, we say a wire source equation is a minimal model for this elliptic curve if all of its coefficients are integer, and if you have any other wire source equation for the same elliptic curve with all integers, all coefficients being integer, the discriminant of the new model is strictly large. It's larger than or equal to the minimal one, our minimal model. And this discriminant is in fact invariant, and we call this the minimal discriminant of the elliptic curve E. So I don't know how these things work, so I'm going to just ignore that. The other invariant is.
If you want to freeze it, you just hit the freeze button.
Gotcha. The other invariant for this that shows up in the spherical conjecture is the conductor. And this one is kind of easier to describe in some ways because I'm going to cheat and say that if E is a modular, if we know that E over rationals is modular, so therefore there is a map from this curve, X0 of N, very similar to the one that Patrick was talking about, except very different as well, mapping to E. And the smallest value of N where we have a map from X0 of N to E is called the conductor of E. And there's a valid definition at this point. It's not a very, in some ways, a good definition to give in a talk, but it's not a very useful definition to use at first. This is kind of an old, much more useful definition, which unfortunately is not a complete definition. Essentially, the minimal discriminant is the product of primes dividing the minimal discriminant to either powers of 1 to, well, 1 if P is a prime of multiplicative reduction, 2 if it's a prime of additive reduction and P is bigger than 3. And there is a problem of primes of 2 and 3, which the definition becomes a bit more complicated, but in general is less than or equal to 8. And the thing that you want to keep in mind for this is that for the purposes of this talk and spherical conjecture, the conductor is pretty much the square free, the product of the primes dividing the discriminant. So it's essentially the radical, maybe the radical square, maybe there is some primes of 2 and 3 showing up in there, but it's in that order. Spherical conjecture tries to give a sort of the other side of the bound for this. Essentially it says that if you have any epsilon bigger than 0, then you have a constant positive number, C epsilon, such that for any elliptic curve E, we have that the minimal discriminant is smaller than or equal to C epsilon times the conductor to the power of 6 plus epsilon. Another way of saying it is that there are very few, there are finitely many elliptic curves that the discriminant is going to be bigger than the conductor to the power of 6 plus epsilon for any given epsilon. And you want to, there's a bit of a tricky thing that you want to be worried about in here, is that when you look at the minimal discriminant, the definition of minimal discriminant, well, in the part of when I was explaining the discriminant, there was a change of variable that suddenly changed the value of the discriminant by u to the 12th. And as a result, it's very tempting to think that you can actually, when you have a discriminant, you can still change it by a factor. But again, this is the minimal discriminant that we're talking about in here. And we want the Weierstrass model to have integer coefficients. And as a result, this is actually a contentful conjecture. And it's a very hard conjecture. And I also like to point out that this conjecture, I defined it over rationals because I'm going to be focusing over rationals. But you can actually state this conjecture over other number fields, and for that matter, for general global fields, in a reasonably obvious way. The hard part is that you have to define the discriminant and the conductor. But those are not that difficult. You can do it, and you can find it in Silverman, for example. So what is known about this conjecture? Well, the nice thing about generalizing it to number field, to general global fields, is that we actually can say that it's true for function fields. So this conjecture was proved over function fields, and it's actually, it's a doable conjecture. You can find it as an exercise in Silverman, in Silverman 2. So you can do it. It's not that hard. But for number field case, things become a lot more difficult. The best result, as far as I can tell, is the consequence of work of Stewart and Yu on ABC conjecture, which says that the discriminant is less than some constant to the power of cube root of the conductor plus epsilon, which is very far from what we really want. And this is kind of an embarrassing thing to sort of, you know, point out, but we can actually prove this in some certain families of elliptic curves. And it's kind of nice to say that because it's sort of, you feel like you're making some progress, but in reality, it's not that impressive. But you can, for example, show that Stewart's conjecture is true for elliptic curves with prime conductor. So if you restrict just elliptic curves with one prime of bad reduction, you can prove it. Or you can sort of, you know, generalize that same result, sort of thing that if you have a, if you ask for the minimal discriminant to be a perfect Elf power, then we can prove it. And what's the idea behind this proof is essentially the way that you go about proving Fermat's last theorem. That, you know, let's say if L is really large, let's say 13 or bigger than 200 or something like that, then you can do level lowering and you get, it has to be congruent to some modular form of level 1, and that doesn't happen. However, so in that sense, that's the case, and the proof of these two statements, as they were published, and I don't remember the name of the two people that wrote that article, I don't remember it right now, it's exactly that. That they sort of, you know, say that we have a modular elliptic curve, and then we can do level lowering if L is large. And then they do considerably more, showing that for the small values, they just parameterize all of them. But we can prove that. Oh, shoot. Missed it again. So that was the evidence. Wait. Oh, that's right. So that was a statement of the Stewart's conjecture. What is known? What is the evidence for it? Why do we think it's true? Well, the ABC conjecture implies Spiro's conjecture. I think Spiro's ABC for general number fields implies Spiro for general number fields. So that's one reason why we believe it. There's a conjecture of Voitar that implies both ABC and Spiro. It's a very geometric conjecture. It sounds very reasonable if you work in Arakalov geometry, so people believe that. It is true for number for function field case with epsilon equal to zero. So that's actually a very, in some ways, it sort of says that finding counterexamples for zero will be very difficult because it's true for function field cases. One way of thinking about it is the next statement essentially is if you have a family of an elliptic curve, then because it's true for function field case, I'm going to wave my hand a bit. Then the limit of this ratio, which I'm going to call the Spiro ratio, is less than or equal to 6, essentially, because Well, if it wasn't the case, if this was actually bigger than 6, then you expect that algebraic family ET over the function field to actually have pure ratio bigger than 6 plus epsilon. And that's sort of, you know, I think that's the biggest reason why we actually believe it right now. And finally, it's such a simple conjecture, and it's such a sort of has so many wonderful consequences. And I think it will be really shameful if it's not true. So we really want to believe this. Now, why do we think it's not true? Well, sphere conjecture implies ABC conjecture, and ABC is such a strong conjecture, so it might be false. When a conjecture is just so strong and proves so many things, you want to be a bit worried. We couldn't find a family of elliptic curves with, you know, that the limit is less than or equals, that is bigger than 6. However, if you just try a bit, and this is going to be part of the topic of this talk, you actually find elliptic curves that have fairly large sphere ratios. Like, you can find ones with 8.8 with a bit of work. And this is mostly done by Mithaj, and he has, like, you know, a bunch of papers where he constructs really good elliptic curves with good sphere ratios. I'm going to call good sphere ratio meaning things that are trying to disprove it for what it's worth. And to make things worse, these ones don't show up with conductor being small. They show up with, sometimes they show up with huge conductors. And we're going to see some examples. These are not, you know, conductor 11 or conductor, you know, 389 or something like that. These are like, you know, 10-digit conductors sometimes that show up, and then they have a sphere ratio of 7. And this is kind of, you know, starts worrying me about this conjecture. And finally, it has so many, implies so many results, and you won't be surprised if one of them is just false. You just have to find one of these implications that is false, and then the whole thing falls apart. So you want to be a bit wary about it. So let's look at some of the computations about this. And the first thing you want to do is essentially look at Cremona's table. If you look at Cremona's table, it has elliptic curves up to conductor 10,000. You look through it, and these are the best ones I found in the table. I'm not going to make a claim that any of this is exhaustive list, because, for example, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that 9690M2, in my first run, I missed that one. Why? I think it was just because I was going through the optimal elliptic curve and not the whole thing. But the top three or four are definitely exhaustive. The next few, I won't be surprised if there's a few things here and there that I'm missing. More importantly, in later slides, I intentionally skipped a few examples just because there's so many of them and I don't know where to cut the thing. However, 8.903 is the absolute best one that we find in Cremona's table. And then 8.801 is pretty close to the absolute second. And the other issue is that when you go to the 130,000, the table starts, especially toward the end, becomes a bit more sparse. However, looking at this table, it kind of suggests that maybe it's a good evidence in some ways for Spiro's conjecture. Because, yes, you get something of sphere ratio 8.9 or 8.8, but most of the ones that you're getting are actually happening at small conductor. And you just kind of feel like the numbers are going down when you look at the table. And you look at Cremona's table, the next step is that you can look at Stein-Watkins' table, which has elliptic curves up to conductor few million or something like that. However, looking through that one, you're not going to find any good example, just because of the algorithm they use for enumerating these elliptic curves, which is they did a box search, essentially, a bit more intelligently than just a pure box search. But they did a box search looking at elliptic curves with a discriminant smaller than some bound. And then after they find the elliptic curves with small discriminants, well, in a relative term, then they calculated a conductor. And if the conductor was smaller than something, they put it in the list. And because of the fact that they're doing it on discriminant first, they're going to miss all of the good examples. And in fact, in my computation, I found quite a number of elliptic curves with good sphere ratio that are not in there. But the other option is that we can now look at families of elliptic curves. Specifically, if you look at curves with torsion points, something interesting is happening with them. Let's say I look at an elliptic curve with 7 torsion. There's a model for it. There's a model for the universal elliptic curve over x1 of 7. And for any choice of s and t, this elliptic curve has 7 torsion points, and the discriminant is going to be s to the 7, t to the 7, s minus t to the 7, times some cubic. So this very naturally is starting to have, you know, the discriminant is going to have 7th power showing up in it. And that sort of, you know, is a good place, or you would hope that that's a good place to start looking if you want to find counterexamples to this, or find elliptic curves with good sphere ratio. You can actually do a bit, well, better might be a slight thing, but another example with this is that you take a same elliptic curve and quotient by the 7th torsion point. I don't know what I was thinking last night. Never make slides while at a bar. But yeah, you quotient out by the 7th torsion point, and you get the discriminant of this new elliptic curve is s minus t times the cubic to the power of 7. So in this case, you can sort of, you know, imagine a method for getting good cases. In fact, you can sort of see s minus t. If you have good ABC triples in there, this part is going to give you 7. That's not going to hurt you in terms of the sphere ratio. If it was above 7, it's going to stay above 7. And this one is, if you have a very good ABC triple, that's going to give you a very good sphere ratio, at least intuitively. So I sort of, you know, said this in a slightly more colloquial way. I say that if I choose S and T really powerful numbers, as in very high powers dividing it, then you expect to get elliptic curves with high sphere ratio. And in fact, you do this. You sort of, you know, just sit down and write a program that searches through, I guess in my computation, I chose S to be just numbers with really high powers showing up in there. The search, so I wanted it to be, you know, things like 312500. All of the prime factors of that is really big. And then for T, I was a bit more generous and allowed it to run through the whole range and didn't demand it to be powerful. And you find elliptic curves with sphere ratios given on this side. For the searches when I was doing it, I sort of mentioned that there were two types of elliptic curves that I was looking at. There was the ones with 7 torsion points and the ones that I quotient out were the 7 torsion points. And I color-coded it in here with the whites being the 7 torsion points and the gray ones being quotienting out by the 7 torsion points. And this is the one example that sort of, you know, really scares me. The conductor is huge and the sphere ratio is over, way over 7, well, 7.1. Having said that, again, when you look at the discriminant, you sort of say that, okay, as long as I have an ABC triple that is good, then the rest of it is going to be, you know, you get huge number of primes showing up in the conductor and it's not going to affect it so much. So it doesn't quite suggest that zero is false, but still, it's not a given that it should be true when you have examples like this. So this is, and this table, for example, is definitely not exhaustive. You have dots, dots in there, and the search algorithm is kind of, you know, very ad hoc and was just a very simple-minded thing. And all it did was take a lot of computation power to find these examples. Here are some examples for other elliptic curves with different torsion structures and different, taking different torsion structures and looking at their sphere ratio. And again, as I've commented, this was done mostly with Nitaj. This is done by Nitaj, not with. Some of these numbers, I think, are found from other tables. But you look at this one, and you have a bunch of examples. And I just want to point out quickly that contrary to what initially you would expect, and this is, again, very hand-wavy thing, looking at the discriminant, you kind of feel like if you have high torsion points, if your torsion structure is big, you kind of hope that you're going to get good steer ratio. At least at this point, the algorithm that's been used for doing these searches seems to be more find elliptic curves with smaller torsion points easier. Like Hughes and Trees have much better steer ratios in Nitaj's table than 5s and 6s and 7s do. Now, again, this is not very rigorous argument for anything, but there might be something about when you have torsion structure, you might have to go to much higher conductors to find better examples than the ones in here. Okay, in the last 5 minutes, I want to talk about another conjecture that might be easier to deal with, which I call local spheros conjecture. And the motivation is essentially that when you look at spheros conjecture, as a typical application for spheros conjecture, what do? Well, here's an example. If you can use local spheros conjecture to prove that a to the a plus b to the b equals c to the c has only finitely many solutions with a, b, c, little a, little b, little c satisfying 1 over a plus 1 over b plus 1 over c being less than 1. And when you apply spheros conjecture, at least, this is one way of doing it, is that, well, for A, B, and C, for any A, B, and C, Darmon and Granville show that there's only finitely many solutions, so we might as well assume that A, B, C is large. I'm going to make a simplicity assumption that A, B, and C, all three of them are large. This doesn't follow from anything. I just want to make the argument simpler. And then you construct this Fry elliptic curve. The minimal discriminant is going to be some powers of 2, a to the a, b to the b, c to the c, and the conductor is just going to be the radical of that. And if all a, b, and c are large, then the spheros conjecture says that says that this discriminant should be smaller than conductor to some power, and that just can't happen because of the construction. Now, I went over this one very quickly, and I apologize for it, but this was supposed to be just a motivation, and the motivation in here is that the main part that we used spheros conjecture was that to show that not all of the prime power, all of the powers of prime showing up in there have to be large. So this motivates the following conjecture, that let E be an elliptic curve. Let's stick to semi-stable elliptic curves. That means the conductor is square-free, and delta is the minimal discriminant. Then for some prime p dividing the conductor, we have that the valuation of p of discriminant is less than or equal to 6. So this conjecture would be doesn't quite follow from Spiro, but Spiro definitely suggests it. And if we can prove this result, if this conjecture would imply the previous application to Diophantine equations and many applications similar to it. Well, what is the evidence for this? Spiro conjecture implies it, at least asymptotically. It's strictly weaker than Spiro conjecture. I don't know how this conjecture can imply Spiro conjecture, so it's good. It might not be a disaster. You can do a computer search, and that will find it. And it's also related to another conjecture, Fry-Mazur's conjecture. And that one, has, again, very geometric basis, and you kind of expect that one to be true. And also, we have a very partial result in this direction at this point that essentially says that if I have an elliptic curve, and ironically enough, I need to assume that the elliptic curve has a non-trivial rational isogeny, so I can't do it for ones that have irreducible Galois representation at all primes. But if it has a as soon as I know something about rational torsion points, then if I fix an integer m and look at elliptic curves with conductor m times p for p very large, and that can make that effective, then the valuation of p of the discriminant is less than or equal to 6. And that's what you expect. If you have the conductor of that form, m times p, and p being very large, you kind of expect that the largest prime is the one that has small valuation. And this is in fact the case. So I'm just going to leave with the following two conjectures that this local sphere conjecture implies or suggests, at least. And the first one is that if I restrict this elliptic curve, my elliptic curve, to ones of the discriminant p to the r, m to the l, so almost the same class as the ones that we could actually prove Spiro's conjecture for, except I'm allowing one more prime with some power showing up in there, then what you expect to be true using local Spiro is that the valuation of p has to be less than or equal to 6 if l is large. And this is kind of I like this conjecture because it's kind of very related to, we can write it as terms of rational points of twists of x of l, the same way that Frye-Mazur does, like Mazur's x of l. And you can write it in this format. And in fact, in this format, you can actually say that it would become equivalent to saying that there are no rational points on x f of l with some congruence condition. So you're trying to show some Diophantine equation has no solution, which is usually easier than showing that some Diophantine equation has finitely many solutions. Anyways, I will stop here. Thank you.